Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune, and before Trevor and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
All right, well, let's bounce back to last week. It was a homecoming victory, snapped a little two-game losing streak, so just kind of watching that back, just kind of what impressed you most with your team?
I think the fight in our kids. The fight and the execution, they take a great deal of pride in homecoming. And like I mentioned before, homecoming is special everywhere, but it's extra special here. So what a great environment.
Yeah, and just defensively, you held them to just over 200 yards with obviously 55 coming on that late touchdown. So just kind of what did you notice from your defense?
I thought we tackled really well. I thought we aligned really well. Good communication.
And then kind of same question offensively, they were kind of able to snap out of a little funk. The running game and passing game were both working together, so just kind of same question there. What impressed you?
I think execution, like you mentioned, and our willingness to be physical.
Yeah, now it's kind of switching into postseason time, so just mental focus. Does anything change headed into the postseason?
We have a mantra we say pretty frequently, seven more days. So the only thing that changes is that we're playing for our careers now, basically. That, to me, there's no finer place for a high school boy to be than on the football field in the fall. And to earn another 7 days together, we have to perform well. So that's our motivation.
And just kind of switching into Fulton a little bit, just kind of early stages of prep, what have you noticed from them?
You know, I think their kids are tough. They're scrappy. I think that they do things well that could give us fits. I think that they play the run pretty well, and that's where we tend to hang our hat. So I think we'll have our hands full.
All righty. Thanks, Coach.
All right, that was Jays head coach Damon Wells. And before we start to talk about the postseason, which is upon us, let's look back to the regular season finale last week, Trevor. And Jays closed it out with a 34-7 win against Moberly. What were kind of your big takeaways from that game last week?
It was kind of a much-needed performance from them. We talked a lot about how the offensive struggles the 2 weeks prior were kind of alarming. And they were facing a pretty good Moberly defense that was very sound in what they do. They tackled well, but it was 7-0 at halftime. It was kind of a slow start offensively, and the second halves had really been what the issue was in the 2 weeks prior. They hadn't scored a single point, but they went ahead and got that out of the way early, so that was good to see. And then it was just kind of a business-like performance from them the rest of the way. Moberly's touchdown came in the final minute, so 55-yard touchdown against not necessarily the whole second team defense, but there was some second team defensive players on the field, so it wasn't the whole starting defense. But defense played really well. They forced two turnovers, both coming inside the 5-yard line. So that is the score could have been a whole lot closer. Moberly kind of did what they needed to stay in the game, but those turnovers really hurt them. And so yeah, winning the turnover battle after the prior 2 weeks and just getting the offense back to rolling a little bit was really big headed into the postseason.
Well, and you really needed that defense to play well throughout the whole game, just from a standpoint of, I think, what was the score at halftime? 7-0, which was, you know, kind of surprising. You know, when I saw you tweet out that halftime score, I was kind of like, what's going on here? But yeah, you're right. If the defense doesn't show up from the get-go, all of a sudden, maybe that's closer. Maybe, you know, Moberly's tied. Maybe Moberly's got a lead if you don't play that well at the first half. And then who knows what happens after that. So yeah, you really did need to kind of have a, you know, a four-quarter defensive effort just to make sure that nothing crazy happened in that regular season finale.
Yeah, no, you could tell that their game plan was really sound in what they were trying to do against this Moberly offense. They were a wing T-based offense like we talked about, so a lot of it was based on the running game, and they essentially took away the running game from them and kind of turned them into a passing team, and a lot of their passing just kind of plays were play action and rollouts, and they were well prepared for that. Anytime he rolled out, there was a guy from the second level that was coming down and getting right in his face. So that was good to see, just execution of the game plan, and just overall the being able to force the fumbles when they did was huge. Obviously, I talked with some of the players about sometimes you can attribute fumbles to luck. Footballs aren't round. They bounce funny ways. So forcing a fumble obviously takes talent. Holding on to the football takes talent.
Right.
What happens in between that or after that kind of you can equate to luck. So they got a little bit lucky getting the two turnovers inside the five, but you have to be thrilled with giving up just over 200 yards of offense to a team that's ranked in their class.
Yeah. So the good part is not only do you end the regular season with a win that gets you to 5-4, but just based on the way that everything else shook out, it gets you all the way to the 2 seed in districts, which was, you know, we kind of were thinking, okay, you know, anything that could have happened, could have been a bad scenario, could have been going on the road first week. Now you're on the road for this, or you're at home for this one instead of being on the road, and then you're home for another one if you win this one. So, you know, getting that 2 seed really was kind of important, and the way it all shook out was, you know, worked out well for them.
Yeah, it was kind of shocking. Didn't really even think to look after the game because I kind of just assumed that Pleasant Hill and Van Horn would win. Van Horn ended up losing to Pembroke Hill. And, that cleared the way for the 2 seed, which is probably how it should have been because Van Horn was in that position because one of their losses turned into a win because of a forfeit. So it kind of all ended up working out how it probably should have. And then on the back end, Warrensburg had a chance to kind of jump Jeff City, but they lost an 87-56 final against Oak Grove. Still have not got over that. And Oak Grove has a wing tee offense. How you score 87 points in a wing tee, that's insane to me. That was, off the soapbox now. But, yeah, it worked out really well to where they get the 2 seed. They get a home game, get to stay in the rhythm of things. That's kind of what I talked to Coach Wells about. It was a question I asked is it kind of nice to not have the bye week? Obviously, bye weeks can be very good for getting healthy and just kind of resetting and having 2 weeks to game plan for a team. But with the struggles that they had just 2 weeks ago and getting off that last week, I think it might be a good thing for them to kind of have another game this week and kind of stay in the rhythm of things.
Well, and I think, and I'll just be a little bit mean here, but I will say, yes, the Jays have a game this week, but it's probably about as close as you can get to a bye at week as you can without having a bye from the standpoint of, so you're taking on the 7th seed in the 7-team district in Fulton this week. It's 7 o'clock game tonight at Atkins Stadium, and it's a Fulton team that comes in at 1-8 and only has the one because of last week. So it's frankly a Hornets team that has struggled this year, and they're, you know, we'll go probably dive into it a little bit more, but there's some ugly results on this schedule if you just look at it and go, okay, there's just certain things where you go, I don't know how much of a contest this will be. I'm sure the Jays are not taking it lightly, but this is a game where I go into this week thinking this is going to be a Jays win almost no matter what.
Yeah, as Nick Wright would say, better than a bye. but yeah, I mean, to put it nicely, Fulton's not a great team. They're not they're not a team that's had many competitive games this year, let alone just their one win. So yeah, I mean, it's got to just be for Jeff City coming in and taking care of business and getting out healthy.
Right.
That's the number one thing, is making sure that you do not have injured players get injured in this game. They're going to be, it sounds like they're going to be without Cantrell Jordan. They're kind of their top running back. So, and that seems more precautionary than anything. Okay. Get him healthy for the games you're kind of worried about. But, yeah, you got to be looking to get in, get up big early, get the running clock started, get your second and third team guys in there. Because the last thing you need is an injury in this week.
I'm sure some of our listeners are sitting at home going, okay, so who was the win then? The win came last week in the regular season finale at Winfield. The Hornets won 22-13. So that was a close game. They've only really otherwise had one close game the rest of the year, which was a 1-point loss, you know, to Mexico. Other than that, there are some just gigantic scores that they've been on the short end of. And if you're looking at just like, you know, a common opponent, well, they both lost to Hannibal this year, but the Hornets lost to them 77-6, which is, again, one of those gigantic numbers that are attention grabbing. And then you've just got other scores that kind of pop up, like, you know, that 60-13 loss to Eldon is kind of one of those where you go, okay, that wasn't close either. And so there's just a lot of ugly lopsided scores on this. So you just look at it and go, hey, I guess I give them credit for not just playing out the string, and, you know, they could have come in at 0-9 instead of 1-8. So at least it looks like they're still playing. But it is also just a team where you look at it and go, these results don't lead me to believe that this one's going to be much of a contest.
Yeah, and it seems like they're playing better, I guess is the word I'm going to use, of late. Obviously, they're coming off their lone win of the season. But in the back half of the year, they've had some more respectable results. Okay. Obviously, the one-point loss to Mexico is kind of something that they were probably able to hang their hat on a little bit.
Sure.
Like, a kind of a selling point to the team for coming out to practice every day and going to play games on Fridays. They were 1 point away from a win. They got to be a little bit closer than maybe they thought they were. But, I mean, it's a team that doesn't have great offensive numbers, doesn't have great defensive numbers. But, like you said, you got to give credit to the kids because, they're playing out the season and they were able to pick up a win last week. So that's got to be kind of a good feeling for them headed into the postseason.
So I think the one thing you kind of just have to look at is just the sheer fact of 96 points for the Hornets this season, and that kind of includes the 22 they got last week. So if you look at it from that standpoint, it's a team that has struggled to score all year long. Can they at any point probably score enough points to keep this one close for even a half at this point?
So what I've kind of, I was watching some huddle tape. It seems like they have a spread style offense, and it seems like they're not afraid to take shots down the field.
Okay.
So, I mean, if Jeff City busts a few coverages, they have a few players that might be able to burn them. So, you got to respect it for what it is, and they're going to be looking to run the ball quite a bit out of that spread style attack. So, I mean, they're going to stress you in the sense of you got to respect the run and be ready for the run, and they're going to throw some go routes down the sideline. So if they're not prepared for that, they have shown the ability to score at some points, but they also seem like an offense that seems pretty easy to prepare for. There's not many complicated aspects to their offense. So as long as Jeff City comes in prepared, I would expect this one to kind of get a little lopsided in the first half.
Okay. You mentioned Cantrell Jordan, but any other Jays that have any problems that we may not see tonight that we would normally be seeing out on the field?
I think he's the only one. I don't know for sure that he is going to be out, but from everything I have heard, it sounds like he's going to. He went down on the third or fourth play of the first drive last week. He got kind of tackled and went kind of forehead first into the turf and banged his head off of it pretty hard and was a little slow getting up, and then they kind of allowed him to go back in for a play, got another touch, and then was down for a minute again after that. And it's, okay, yeah, let's go ahead and get him out of here. So
yeah.
If he is in concussion protocol, I think it would probably be smart to kind of leave him out of a contest like this.
Right.
Just necessary time to get back healthy. But as far as I know, he is the only one.
Yeah. All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and I will just ask you, how ugly do the Jays win tonight?
You know, I think running clock is going to help with the final score of this one, and if it goes how I expect, they will probably get that in the first half and just kind of be able to coast through the second half and make it a very quick one. So I will go with the final score of 49-0, Jeff City.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.